2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Joining us now, you hear him every day from 10 to 12, also Jazz Insider for KSLSports.com. Ben Anderson, kind enough to join us. And Ben, I know you've been on the air a bunch already today, but thanks for joining us. Your initial thoughts on this with the potential of Russell Westbrook and pick or a combination of picks, and there'll probably have to be something else to balance it out before it's all said and done, but what's your early impression on this thing?
This is a deal that's been talked about for a while, not just Russell Westbrook, but with involving D'Angelo Russell. I know the Timberwolves had wanted Mike Conley for a long time, dating back several months now. They've been keeping an eye. They are just terrible closing games, so they need a real true point guard that can step out there and play, and D'Angelo Russell's really been the only piece that would be tradable, but I don't think the Jazz have had a ton of interest in D'Angelo Russell, and honestly, that's dating back to some things that Danny Ainge said about him when he was in Los Angeles and Danny Ainge was in Boston, so that's dating back 7 years now. So it's a deal that's been talked about for a long time. I know Minnesota's been interested in getting a deal done. We know the Lakers really want to improve, and the Jazz want draft stock. So I'm sure that would be the key piece for the Jazz that they're trying to finalize.
Okay, so I know that we are looking at all kinds of possibilities here, but one of the things that was attached to, and I can't remember if it was Shams or if it was Woj, I don't remember, but it was working on draft protections. So, Ben, in your assessment, do you believe whatever the Utah Jazz get back potentially from the Lakers in terms of draft picks will be protected?
Well, if the Lakers trade two picks, the first one, if I understand correctly, has to be unprotected because you can't trade multiple picks from the same team if you don't know if they're going to convey, because then it affects how the next one conveys. So basically, you have to guarantee that one of them will hit, which is why only the last Minnesota Timberwolves trade or pick that the Jazz got from the Timberwolves in the Rudy Gobert trade is top five protected, and the first three had to be unprotected. So the Lakers, if I understand correctly, would have to, if they included both their 2027 and 2029 picks, the 2027 pick would probably have to be unprotected, and then you could have whatever protections you want on 2029. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Do you think that the Jazz make this trade for a singular protected 2027 pick?
I don't think so. I think you would want, more draft compensation than that. Ideally, two picks. If it has to be heavily protected in 2029, that's one option. Or you could get a whole slew of second round picks. So the Lakers just traded a bunch to get Rui Hachimura. So some of those would probably have to come from the Timberwolves, and I just don't know what they have as this is, you know, coming down at this moment. I'm not sure what those would be, but they don't have any other first-round picks they could send out, speaking of the Timberwolves, because the Jazz own them all. So you could potentially loosen up or put in another draft swaps, you know, things like that, but I can't imagine Minnesota wants to send any more draft capital of any kind to Utah. So it would have to be the 2027 pick and then something else from the Lakers, because the Jazz seem to be, or have reported or believe that Mike Conley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Malik Beasley are all individually worth a first-round pick. I think some of that was talk, but it's got to be more than just one.
If Westbrook is included to come to the Utah Jazz, will he have more or less points as Derrick Rose in his stop with Utah Jazz?
Yeah, I think it'll be identical. I think he and Derrick Rose will have a very similar career to Utah before they sign somewhere else. You know, he may not even get on a plane to Salt Lake City, depending on what the, you know, reporting rules are. The trade has to go down, but then, yeah, the Jazz can agree to waive the physical and then buy him out immediately. And I know his number is huge, $47 million, but he's already been paid a lot of that. You know, you don't just get one lump sum at the end of the year. So the Jazz would work out a deal where they would save, you know, a couple of dollars, and he would go elsewhere and get to sign with whichever team, I would imagine, the Eastern Conference would want to sign him and bring him in.
Do you anticipate all that stuff's negotiated before a trade goes down with his agent on what he'd be willing to accept on a buyout?
Yeah, I have to imagine that's been talked about at the very least. Or there's just kind of a general rule of thumb which says, hey, a guy will take, you know, you just sub out the minimum NBA deal for the remaining of the year for a veteran of his status, because, you know, there are X amount of dollars you have to pay the longer you've been in the NBA. He will take that out of his deal, understanding that the next team that signs him has to pay him that much, so he actually doesn't lose any money.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Ben, if we see this trigger get pulled on this trade that's been proposed, that's out there swirling, will that be it for the Utah Jazz, or should we brace for more?
That would seem like a big chunk of it. I mean, there's only a few players that have really been talked about, those three, Conley, Beasley, and Vanderbilt. Olynyk's been tossed around a little bit, but then you're talking about, you know, trading four rotation players in a, you know, eight-man rotation for the Jazz. I mean, that would be an enormous shakeup. It's possible, but you're going to have to get a lot back, and I'm sure if the Jazz could get two first-round picks, they may feel comfortable with what they've been able to acquire in season. And Olynyk's not a bad player to have. You know, this year, if you go in the offseason, he's owed hardly anything next year, and if you bring him back, he's still on a cheap deal and can give you starting minutes and seems to be happy to live here. So there's value there, or you could trade him again in the summer. Otherwise, you know, Jordan Clarkson's name has been floated, but weirdly without any real solid rumors. You hear his name, but you don't hear where he would go or who the Jazz would get back, as opposed to, you know, we've heard a lot of names attached to Conley. We've heard names attached to Beasley. We've heard teams attached to Vanderbilt. You don't even get that much solid info on Jordan Clarkson, which makes me think that more of the rumors are that Ryan Smith really likes him and wants him around seem to be more logical.
By the way, I think it's important to note that if this thing went down, I feel pretty confident in saying this was not an easy move to make, in particular for Ryan Smith. I know the relationship with Mike Conley is deep. Like this one, we always go back to the interview we had with Ryan Smith where he said that there's, you know, no amount of pain that we would go through to bring a championship to Salt Lake City. I think this is a painful day in particular for Ryan Smith.
Yep, I agree. I think those are, you know, that's a hard move to make. Mike Conley came in and was a consummate pro. You know, Beasley and Vanderbilt would just kind of be blips on the radar ultimately. And I don't think they were ever designed here to be super long-term, but the Jazz got to test it. If they do end up getting traded, they got to see what they could do. But yeah, I mean, I think Mike Conley is, you know, honestly put together a borderline top 10 Utah Jazz career. There's just not many players who have made an all-star team, made the playoffs 3 years in a row, had the big games that he had, and really was a good player. He's a good soldier living in Salt Lake City, and his family really seemed to embrace it.
All right, Ben, kind of walk all of us through what happens with the Utah Jazz roster, because if you move out Mike Conley and you move out Malik Beasley, and let's say Vanderbilt moves out as well, and then you bring Westbrook in and you buy him out and you basically bring in draft picks, you've got holes that you've got to fill. So what do those holes look like?
Yeah, you would probably need to go out and sign some 10-day guys, which is kind of interesting that Micah Potter's still on the roster. He suffered an elbow injury that's going to keep him out for, you know, at least well through the All-Star break. So I wouldn't be surprised if you waived him, brought in another two-way guy. You could even promote somebody potentially from the G League to come in. But yeah, the Jazz would be short a lot of players. You would have 10-day contracts to come in. You would still have as your starting point guard. I would imagine Colin Sexton would probably move into the starting rotation to play alongside Jordan Clarkson. You would have Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler still out there. I think Olynyk sticks with the roster, so he's still your starting four. And then off the bench, you really do turn the keys over to Talen Horton-Tucker, Nickeil Alexander-Walker potentially, and either of those guys honestly could move into the starting lineup if the Jazz preferred to have Sexton coming off the bench. Ochai Agbaji becomes a featured player as opposed to just kind of the weird second and fourth quarter minutes he gets. I think he starts getting first quarter minutes in place of Malik Beasley. And then maybe you honestly test if Simone Fontecchio can play. I've heard the Jazz actually like Leandro Bolmaro, but he hasn't had an opportunity to play very much just because they're so deep at that position. So clearing out guards and Conley and Beasley could open up opportunities for them to give some of those guys 3 minutes, 4 minutes here of actual rotation time, not just garbage minutes at the end of a game. And then, of course, let's see what happens with Rudy Gay. I know a lot of teams are keeping an eye on him as a buyout candidate. He's not that much expensive for the Jazz, and for continuity's sake, they may prefer to keep him around.
Is there any secondary players that might interest you that could be included in this, like an Austin Reeves or somebody like that?
Yeah, the Jazz could certainly look to get younger, and that could be what they're arguing about. You know, that's how the Jazz ended up with, I think, Walker Kessler in this talk, is that the Timberwolves didn't want to give up certain pieces, and the Jazz said, fine, we'll take your first-round pick, and in retrospect, that looks like an enormous mistake. But, yeah, that's how you end up with, I think it's Max Christie or Austin Reeves or some of these other, young players that the Lakers do have. They could potentially end up in Salt Lake City. And, I think Danny Ainge knows the league well. I know he watches a lot of college basketball. He knows and he scouts a lot of these guys before the draft. So there could be other pieces he's been targeting the whole time, along with Justin Zanuck, who draws up most of these deals. So there could absolutely be other players involved at Jazz Land that could be, kind of low-key additions that they like.
Well, Ben, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us on short notice. Great information, not just on the air, but online at kslsports.com. But thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, guys. See ya.
That's Ben Anderson, every day from 10 to 12 right here on The Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.